want to be praying for Midland. We know that they had a flood out there. And in fact, we had some people in this church that were affected by that. So if you be mindful to pray for them, and we're going to look to see if there's any needs we can meet. Also, next week, on the 31st, we'll be reopening service from 10 and 11:30. No Wednesday night yet. That'll still be done by Facebook Live at 10 a.m. There are some guidelines posted. Please be mindful of that, and we'll get through this time. It's one where we really don't have all the answers, to be honest with you. No one does. But we're going to do our best to be safe, but also to be godly and powerful in Christ Jesus. I want to make you aware that we appreciate your giving. It's made a great, great difference. We haven't missed one bill, one thing during this time, so thank you, church. But I also want to make you aware of a need that we're going to step it up when it comes to our broadcasting. We need to get some professional equipment here. So we've gotten some prices on that. If you'd like to contribute to that, you enjoy it online, just make a note of that in your giving. Just put it towards outreach or cameras, and we'll make sure that goes to the appropriate place. I know many are enjoying this time together, but we need to get some professional equipment. The recording will be better. The sound, you name it, everything that goes with it will be better. So please be mindful of that. We're going to open in a word of prayer. If you would just bow your heads with me here, we'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you hear and you answer and show great and mighty things. Lord, we come against this virus in the land. Lord, your hand to be upon this country. Lord, I pray, Lord, during this time that many will turn to you. Lord, you said if we'd turn to you with all our hearts, Lord, repent of our sins, you'd heal our land. Lord, our land needs healing today. But we pray, Lord God, for the believer to arise in faith, that there's nothing greater than being in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, Lord, our desire is to be with you. Lord, I pray your blessing upon everyone who's going to hear this message, on every family, on every member of Lighthouse. Holy Spirit, work deep within each heart. Bring conviction and change. And Lord, as we surrender to you, Lord God, we know the best is yet to come. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. We pray for those in leadership. Lord, continue to move in their hearts and lives. Give them wisdom accordingly. And Lord, your blessing upon the church. Lord, there be not one sick among us. Lord, I speak that in faith. I speak that boldly, Lord God. Not one sick among us. Lord, keep each one strong, Lord God, as your word quotes in Psalm 91, that no plague will come near our dwelling. Lord, nothing destructive, Lord God, come near, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Job. Find the book of Job. My message title this morning is The Prophetic Word. I'm going to continue on this word series. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the other ones, please do. I think that would be beneficial for this. In the book of Job, it's many times complicated to understand why Satan was allowed to do what he did, that God allowed certain things to happen. But I'm going to read you this, that the book of Job is not about a man whom God turned over to Satan. It's much more than that. It's not seeing how much a man could, you know, suffer or how much he could endure. The Lord knows our breaking point. It's this, the book of Job was written to that we would seek him, that we would know him, that God tempers all actions by his grace. And when Job, at the end of the book, saw him high and lifted up, it changed every situation. There are certain things in life that'll come upon us that we need to hear from the Lord. I've seen good things happen to bad people, and I've seen bad things happen to good people. But in this life, we have to know the Lord. And a prophetic word will unlock those things. More than ever today, we need to hear from the Lord and know and hear his voice. Because when God speaks a word that's fitting, it's easy to be entreated. It's without hypocrisy, full of good fruits. I got a few things here as we get into this message, if you wouldn't mind jotting down. Number one, Job was challenged by Satan. Two, He was tested by God. 3, he was questioned by his friends. 4, he was restored by revelation. And 5, he was rewarded by grace. The number 5, if you're into numerics or numerology, is really a sign of grace. For the believer, I believe that we'll fall into these 5 steps sometime in our life. I know that there's progression when it comes to the kingdom, but there are times that we don't know the Lord fully in an area until we've experienced something. We've went through something, maybe a loss of a loved one. The person who goes through that knows much greater grace in that area. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord has to inflict you with sickness to understand his healing power, but if you've ever been healed before, you can say that, man, I've been through this and that the Lord has healed me. That experience is there. It's more than just intellectual knowledge. It's actually knowing. In Job 42, verse 5, I want to read this to you. I've heard you by the hearing, but now I see you. At the end of the book of Job, he began to see that I see the Lord. And when you see him high and lifted up, it changes everything. But during this time on this planet, God gives us prophetic words that we can follow, that we can get comfort from. All scripture is God-breathed. I believe that if God speaks a word, it is in scripture. You never just go by one word alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, being in the ministry for a while, I know that if the Lord speaks to you to go somewhere, say he calls you to be a missionary, he'll speak to you too. He just won't speak to some individual and tell you to go around the planet. He'll talk to you too. Like any great parent, he'll talk to his children. It may be confirmed through somebody else, but the truth is that God will speak to you and he'll confirm his word. When I look at God's purposes, all of Satan's challenges, listen, should cause us to see the Lord. God knew that Job would make it through this, even though it seemed like there were dark days. God always sees the end. And when I think about this life, this morning I really ponder this. It's just like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. And many are so planning on this life, living it full here, but not even thinking about what's next. And if you think about it, what a sad commentary to gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Well, on this planet, I know all of us want to have a good journey, but being benevolent is one thing we need to be. Looking out for others and telling some people, letting them know that there's more than just what's here. There's more than this life, that we need to prepare to meet our God. When I look at the book of Job, mercifully God provided in every area that the channel of this or the revelation that came was going to come through his friends. But how the message was perceived is one that was missed. I'm going to go through at least 2 of the gentlemen that spoke to Job, 2 of his friends. When God's word begins to flow, it needs to be encouragement for us. Do you know you can bless somebody's day by hearing from the Lord and sharing that with others? Not to try to win personal favor, but truthfully, an encourager is needed in the kingdom. And a true prophetic word unlocks that area. We need to speak those words. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, we have this treasure, the Holy Spirit, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of his power may be of God and not of us. That everything that's performed, whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whether it's a prophetic word, it's that treasure that we have, the Holy Spirit in us, coming out and meeting the need. We need to have the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Now I'm going to give you a little side note. When I get into Job's friends, they actually spoke some harsh words to him too. But what I do appreciate is that Job broke out in boils. He had a pot that he scraped himself with. But at least his friends sat with him. There are times where if somebody is afflicted that we don't want to get near. That's not my heart. I'm glad it wasn't the friends' hearts. I mean, it was at open sores. He wouldn't have been a pretty sight, but yet he still had somebody to sit with him. That's why when it comes to calling for people, if you're sick, you come to church and you get prayed for. That's scriptural. Now, I understand all the things about trying to get better at home and all that, but I'm not afraid to pray for somebody who's afflicted. I'm being just straight up with you. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, There's a working principle when it comes to a prophetic word, that we need to possess what we're going to give out. And what I mean by that is Acts 3, verse 6. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up and walk." Notice that this is a working principle, that he had this within him, and now he's speaking this out. We need to also possess this. We have it in this vessel, but we need to be able to let that loose, to bring that forth. Then notice he said, "I don't have this." If you're just looking for monetary things, that isn't what you need. But what I have is what you need. That's the way we need to be as Christians. We have what the world needs because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. The excellency is of God, and he just uses you as a vessel to get this forth. When I look at this working principle, when he met that guy at the gate, beautiful, he said, "Silver and gold I don't, but such as I have." He reached out and he lifted him up. Would you rather have your bank account full or be healed of an ailment that you had? I wonder how many exchange. I have to believe that this guy was begging to get along, maybe meeting a few needs, maybe just getting another meal. But if he could have been productive in life, that's far greater. And notice he reached down and he lifted him up. I like immediate miracles. I know you do too. There's times where it's progressive. I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen in my own body. But I do like it when things are instant or it just happens right then when you pray. I want to have that expectation that when I lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. Because no one wants to leave sick. They want to leave better. So our expectation there, so that working principle, notice he's speaking that out. "Silver and gold, but such as I have." Notice those words came with power, power and authority. That's why when Jesus spoke, it said in Scripture, no man spoke like him. The scribes didn't speak like him, for he taught with authority. When I look at this working principle, if you're taking notes, in Job 5, verse 8, Job spoke this word, "As for me, I'll seek God, and I'll commit my cause to him." He says, this is something I'm going through, but I'm still going to seek him. In all this, even his own wife said, "Just curse God and die." He said, "I held on to my integrity." There are times that you may go through a situation where you don't know all the answers, like even now. The truth is that who would know all these levels? Now, God could have tipped a few off, I understand. But the truth is, the country by unaware. And many times we have to deal with what's going on. But now we have to be able to speak into that. We have to call that and say, you know what, we're going to see that change. When we open up church here next week, I want us to have the faith to say, you know what, I'm going to meet with God. When's the last time you met with Jesus and got sick? Being straight up with you. I mean, as we go to the grocery stores, we go to the gas station, we go to all these places where there are people you don't even know. And do you go there saying, hey, I'm going to go to the store to get sick? We should have that confession. I'm not coming to church to get sick. I'm coming to church to get whole. That's my confession of faith. Can I get an amen? It's kind of quiet, but I hear it. When I look at this here, the first friend that Job dealt with, if you got taking notes, is in Job chapter 3, verses 11, and Job 4, verse 1. Eliphaz is going to speak a word. But he's going to speak a word that it's veiled in guilt. If we speak a prophetic word there, or we have a projection of guilt, it's hard to receive that. Sometimes we may like, well, if you didn't sin, or Job, if you maybe there's sin in your life and that's why you got afflicted. When we hear something like that, it's hard to take that in, especially if you're living as much as you can righteous. A mixture of truth and error, Job couldn't drink it. So when it comes to a prophetic word, we have to have a true word of God. Because Job's saying, no, I didn't do this. I didn't do this. So instantly, that guilt, that projection that the first friend gave, it didn't bring forth real divine revelation. It makes us maintain a defensive position. The words of Eliphaz was this. It's like a mixture of truth and error. But we need to learn to separate the meat from the bones. Not every prophet I've met on this planet has been perfectly 100% right, no matter what they have titles on. The truth is that we can get a little bit off or add a few words to the mix or not hear just right or project it in a way that the Lord didn't want it. I've seen some serious judgment and berating people with a word where it could be received. A wounded spirit is seldom really teachable. When I look at prophetic, I want you to hear this. Prophetic pollution demands purification. I said prophetic pollution demands purification. The first friend that came to him and spoke is guilty of taking the message and changing it. It's like, Lord, you may be truthful, but it's not in the right heart. Impure prophecy pollutes every great move of God. We have to say, you know what? Lord, I want the words to be true and pure. That's why we need to spend more time in the word, get more word in us working, change those things. That way, thus saith the Lord, can change a city, can change a nation. I believe a prophetic word over this country can change a country. But notice that we spend so much time in other things than hearing from the Lord. When Job's first friend spoke to him, there was a mixture there. There was truth there, but he was trying to say, it's because of this. When we get into a defensive position, it's not going anywhere. I've seen this. I've seen people commanded to sell their homes and give their money to the prophets. Well, the truth is, unless God's speaking that, you don't do it. But I've seen God come and help a widow saying, give me your last meal, and it'll never run dry. Notice that she got the results after she did. Sometimes we have to, Lord, you speak a word. Lord, let me be sensitive to your spirit. I've seen a lot of lives get ruined by somebody who was a false prophet. Notice that when the true prophet spoke, it blessed her home, it blessed her family, and she was taken care of the rest of her life. I wonder how many prophets would say that. How many prophets would back that up? That's a little side note there. When I look in, the devil wants us to do this. He wants us not to be really interested in people who really don't matter in speaking. But the devil's always looking for somebody to have a little bit of credibility. Sometimes even in the body of Christ. He's looking for that vessel to bring forth a message. Because somebody that no one's going to listen to, what good is that? So he's going to look for somebody who's credible, who has some influence in an area. Maybe somebody that's really charismatic and come in and kind of wow a bunch of people. The devil wants to look for vessels like that to speak through so he can get an attention or an audience. We need to be pure. That means we need to take our hearts and our lives to be with him. If we understand 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. All of us that are saved have the Holy Spirit within us. That means where we go, the Holy Spirit is in us. He's with us. And the truth of this, he sees everything. Our goals should be the gates and that we have our eyes and our ears. Lord, let's help to keep them pure. And it's sometimes difficult. Sometimes you got to turn that off or change that or say, man, I'm not listening to that. Even today, all the messages, I haven't heard too many speak faith today. You listen to the news, there's no faith there. We need leadership that'll speak faith to and just declare, hey, we need prayer again, church. We need to gather and pray and seek his face. We need to come against those things and not just cave in so easily, but stand firm in faith. When this first broke out, my wife had a word. She says, you know what? I think the church has caved in too easily. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be mindful of things, but the truth is that where's our faith? Where are we standing strong? I believe that God can change things. It says he can heal our land. Then, Lord, we need you. When I look at this treasure in earthen vessels, that means we're clay pots. That's right, clay pots. And the pot needs to change because whatever the pot's flavor will come out in the message. That's why the pot has to be clean. Now, the truth is that I don't believe any of you want to drink from a dirty glass. There's been a few times that we have hard water where we live, and sometimes the glass can be spotted. And it's like, hey, you can see it instantly. You're like, you want to re-clean that or change that. Also, when it comes to prophetic word bringing it forth, it'll take on the flavor of the pot. Then the pot needs to be clean and pure. That means there needs to be a purifying process. Even Isaiah, the prophet, said this, before I speak, it's like a coal was taken and purged his mouth. It burned off those things from the golden altar. God's prophets need a mouth that's been purged for speaking. When Peter dealt with the guy at the gate, beautiful, think about the relationship he had with the Lord, now filled with the Holy Ghost, bold in those things, searching the scriptures, coming from a prayer time, and he meets the guy. That's where things become powerful. He gave what he possessed, and he spoke that reality there. When that purifying coal comes, it changes. That comes in prayer. That comes in praise. That comes in worship. That now this mouth becomes an instrument which God can use. And he needs mouthpieces today, he does, but pure mouthpieces. Now, there's been times where you've had some water and added a little this. When we were little, we used to make Kool-Aid. Remember Kool-Aid? That used to be our drink in the summer. It was cheap to make. We'd get those big old cans, and there are times if you ever take a scoop of that and put it on your tongue, it was way too much. But the truth is that that glass started to change the color, usually, of what was put in there. Well, I want it to be crystal clear that God can move in that area, that what comes out is pure. If there isn't an altar continually at the heart, I rarely believe the mouth is being purged. When I look today, Job had friends, but their words were missed out. There's sometimes it needs to be a message of comfort. They didn't know why he was being afflicted. They were trying to put their own spin on it. The whole time God knew that, listen to me, it's draw close to me. That's the purpose of man. That many times people will add their own opinions to it. And church, be cautious of this, that it's just man's opinion. Did you hear from the Lord? That's what we need to hear. Because even if everyone says this, what is God saying? That's what he needed. Could you imagine if one of the friends of Job said, you know what, Job, God's going to see you through. You're only being afflicted here. Satan's using it for destruction. God's using it for good to reveal himself to you. Could you imagine how that would have brought great comfort, especially when you lost your family, you lost your home, you lost your health? I mean, it couldn't get a whole lot worse. He even said, I just cursed the day I was born. That's how serious it was. When it comes to a prophetic word, it also brings maturity. The body of Christ needs to mature that they can distinguish a true prophetic word from merely just the word of a prophet. We need to be mature in those things. Now, I'm thankful here at Lighthouse, we have many mature saints, many that have walked with God many years. And that's always a comfort for me as a pastor. It also challenges me to stay in the Word, to make sure that there's a well-balanced meal, that people can grow in grace, and also to be challenged to know things, and dare I say, convicted as well. I really thank the Lord. There are times where somebody's been walking with the Lord all their life and saying, you know what, the Lord just convicted me of that. That's a sensitive heart that we all need. When I look at Job, I realize that his second friend that came to him in Job chapter 8, verse 1, if you have time to read it. It's like this. In Job 8, verse 2, it says this. His second friend says, how long will you speak these things? And the words of your mouth are like strong wind. Job had learned that God's word fired in him becomes strong. But listen, if the word comes with just rocks, crushed stones, that mixture becomes hard to handle. In Job 8, verse 4, here's what Bildad said. If your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them for their transgressions. Could you imagine those hurtful words? Hey, if your sons, the reason why they're dead is because maybe they've sinned and God just judged them. When you're going through a serious situation, would that minister grace? We know that Job offered up many times for his children, prayed over his family, but to put projection on somebody else, say, hey, this person sinned in your family, that's why all these tragic things are happening to you, those are hard words to go through. They're hurtful words. Where is that ministering God's grace in the situation when the whole time God wanted to help Job and show himself real? And Job had to deal with these crushing words, sometimes crushing and hurting. Sometimes we need to be compassionate in those things. Now, here's another side of the story. we reap what we sow. If there's some things that happen that we have to go through, man or woman up and take that on. If you knew you blew it, fess up to it and go for it. God will even help you in your harvest. He'll even temper those things. None of us have got what we deserve. Thank God for it. But the truth is that when he was walking with the Lord, he was innocent in those things. And now the second friend comes along and says, well, it must be sin. I mean, that's a pretty blanket statement. Notice it's like it's a word of the Lord can come forth and all you're getting is a bunch of rocks. You want to look for the nugget in the midst of that, but Lord, there's so much debris I have to sift through. There are times that we need to speak. Isaiah 40 verse 1, comfort me, my people, says the Lord. When Bildad spoke a prophetic word that his children are the reason why, listen, that's difficult. It's hurting. Can you imagine blaming a child that's passed away? Well, it's your kid that's dead. It's their problem. See how hurtful that is? That's ridiculous. Can you imagine that? That's a prophetic word coming out. Your dead children are why you're going through this. Doesn't cut it. We have to look and say, we need more maturity than that. And never bring up on people. There are some people that have suffered loss. People have went through some tragedy. How about speak a comforting word and say, you know what? I may not know the full extent of that, but I'm here for you. The only resolve I have during a funeral is if I know they know the Lord, to me that I miss them, but I'm glad they're with Jesus. That's the greatest comfort. But it's hard to do a funeral with somebody that you can't tell at all they serve the Lord. There's no indication. There's no family that can testify. Those funerals are tough because you still want to be honest and truthful, yet bring forth a message that ministers grace. When I look at Jesus, we have to say, Lord, speak a word. But just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean that, hey, it's from him. We can't take that responsibility lightly. We have to determine, is it a word of the Lord? Job had to process this in real time. Now, it'd be nice to say that Job could still sit in a nice home, like his family was nearby, and, you know, I'm going through a little struggle. But when you're sitting in an ash heap, you got a broken pot with open sores, you're scraping it, your children are gone, your possessions are gone, you don't even know if you're going to make it, and then all of a sudden you got to decipher, is this God's word or not? There's a lot of fire in that. In Job 8, verse 20, it talks about, hey, there's pressure at times that you may feel like the facts don't line up. In Job 8, verse 20 and verse 21, he says, yet he will fill my mouth with laughter and my lips with rejoicing. There was a nugget of truth that Bildad gave, but there was also a ton of error. Sometimes when we have to go through those things now, there's shows on TV that, you know, shows this, or they got gold and they sift a bunch of dirt. All they're looking for what is precious. There are times also in our life that we'll have to sift through a lot of rocks and a lot of dirt just to get a gold nugget out. Be mature in those things. God will bring forth. At the end of the book, you'll see that God gave twice as much to Job. So some of the words that his friends spoke were truthful, but yet sometimes the message won't be received. Hoping that's making sense. When I look at God, there are times that he'll discipline his children. But his severity that deals with this, listen to me, is one that God knows each individual. Like if you have a big family, certain children need certain ways to discipline. Now me, I needed a whooping. Maybe you did too. I needed a whooping. I was that kid. I was the kid that broke the window. I wrecked the car. I did all that stuff. I wasn't evil in those things, but the truth is I did it. Everyone came over to play baseball at my house. What'd I do? Back up to the window, threw the ball through the window. It's amazing to me when things happen, all my friends scattered, left to take the punishment. Well, I deserved it. There are certain times I try to get away with it, but I deserved it. I deserved all the punishment I got. Maybe not you, but I did. But what God will deal with his children, sometimes it's like the severity I can't determine. But a proper chastening of the Lord is something that God will bring in. But it also is this, he'll deal with those who speak wrongly, as in the book of Amos. We need to recognize there's gold nuggets of truth, but sometimes there's a truckload of worthless rocks we have to get through. When you're not feeling well, when this is happening, you can still hear from God. Let it be always a place where it forces you to get closer to him, not farther away. That's my heart during this time. My prayer is that every family, everyone who's hearing this or watching this, that you're drawing closer to the Lord, not farther, or waiting for something else to happen, but you're allowing this time to go closer to him. We should have a greater relationship through this. If we do, to me, then this is time that, you know, will come forth as gold. Now, 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that I planted some grass seed. I had some bare places in my yard, and it's like there'd be a whole bunch of grass in this giant bare spot. Well, this year I determined that, made sure all that was taken care of. I bought some topsoil, put it all down there, spread it all out, planted some grass seed. I watered it several days, and obviously it's been raining pretty heavy lately. And I looked the other day, it's starting to grow. Little bitty seedlings are up about that high, and I know if the nutrients are there, the water is there, the sun is there, sooner or later, it'll look just like the rest of the grass. You won't be able to tell the difference. That ripening process happens in us too. Whatever relationship Job had in the beginning, he's going to have a greater one in the end. Let me ask you, would you go through a few things to have a greater relationship with the Lord? I have to say, yeah. I hope it's never that level. But there are times the Lord knows our makeup. He knows what we need. He knows each person. There are times that we have to go through things. And even this time now that we're living in, it didn't catch the Lord off guard. If you read the book of Revelation, this is just birth pains. Talk about cataclysmic events that are going to come. It's in the book of Revelation. Every word will be fulfilled. The church needs to be ready. And you can see there's a heightened move now with a one world government. There's a heightened move with the mark of the beast. There's a heightened move with all our information now in everybody else's homes. Think about it. Somebody's at home today watching all your stuff, guarding your information. It's all out there today. When the one world government comes in, we can see it all there. No wonder it says in the book of Revelation, no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark. It's all, and to me, it's taken a giant step forward, that's for sure. When I look at a prophetic word, the prophetic word should also bring a ripening process. What I mean by that, it should bring the fruit full. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46, it says this, however, the spiritual was not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. Notice that there's some areas there that we can look at as it does in nature. It'll also do in the spiritual realm, like seed, time, and harvest. When I look at the natural realm, there are things that are involved. Now, I spoke a message a while ago about tried by fire. And in that message, smelting or changing something from one process, one way to another, or the process from change from one to another, involves crushing, melting, purifying, and molding. When I look at Job, he had a crushing, he had a melting, he had a purifying, and a molding. God will change us from glory to glory. This process that's smelting or changing it from one area, changing the properties, pulling out what's valuable from the iron ore or the metal is what the Lord always is trying to do. I don't want to be like me in heaven. I want to be like Christ. I know what I am in the flesh. I want to be more like Jesus. Then dying to self. I can say Job was dying to self during this time. But the words that he heard, are they comforting? Are they propelling him to greatness? Are they taking him from glory to glory? Can you imagine speaking a great word in due season? It'll bless the whole church. We should strive for that. That means there's maturity in the individual. The person spending that time in prayer. And if you meet on Sundays for service, I think Saturdays needs to be a little purification for Sunday. I don't think we should get up Sunday morning and confess our sins and hope we got it all right. I think there needs to be a process there. We live every day for the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have fun on Saturday. I recommend you should. But you also should be prepared to meet your God. That when you come in, you're filled with the Spirit, ready to go, ready to hear from him. You can bless the row that you're sitting in. When I look at this purification, the word of God helped him overcome. In the back of the book of Job that he overcome, God revealed himself and restored twice as much that he had. In fact, he blessed all his family more than he could ever. Sometimes when we get through something and we can look back, we don't like to go through it again, but we're thankful that we went through that process. Job was never the same in his relationship with God after he went through this. And I have to believe he wouldn't trade it for anything to know God, to know God as life. He knew him in a much greater way while he was on this planet. When it comes to the word, we sift through a bunch of rocks. We find that gold. Listen to me, I've learned this. We need to study that word. Write it down. Sow it in. After a rock is crushed, it's put in that crucible. It's taken to a superheated furnace. It's mixed. It's dissected. It's broken down into smaller parts. And then it becomes usable. We also need to hear a word from the Lord and then break it down. Break it down into crucible of prayer. Take it to the fire. Can you imagine hearing a word of the Lord and now you take it in the fire of the Lord, in prayer to God? It'll make it more powerful and more pure. The Lord directed me in this message and I knew it without a doubt. Then I took this message in prayer to that crucible there, that God, I want this word to come forth like gold. Now I know who I am. I have the treasure in earthen vessels. But in Hebrews 12, verse 25, our God is a consuming fire. Notice he's a consuming fire. When you bring that word to him, you got that gold nugget of truth, bathe it in prayer. Put it in prayer. Put it in your worship time. Speak that over, that when it comes forth, it isn't taking on the smell of the vessel, but purity. God knows the temperature needed to release truth and error. It heated up for Job. It did. I don't have time to go through his third friend and what he dealt with. But the process now is one that it starts to unfold. In all those chapters, it begins to unfold. He's searching. He's asking. His friends aren't bringing a whole lot of help here. A nugget of truth, but he's got to sift through a mountain of rocks. But now all of a sudden, God reveals himself. And when he saw the Lord, it made all the sense in the world. In the midst of our struggle, when you see the Lord, it makes all the sense in the world. When my mother passed on from this life to the next, I could tell that her body was broken down. She was ready to go. The truth is that this flesh, it only can go to the grave. I want everyone to live long, but this body, one day it's appointed on the men once to die. That's just the truth. But I saw where her relationship with the Lord was so strong. I saw that she had a faith, that she knew that as soon as I breathe my last here, I am there. There was not a doubt in her heart and mind. And what I appreciate about the Lord is the revelation that gave to her, that he opened up her ears to hear things, even while I was in the room that I couldn't hear. She could hear the singing in heaven. She could get a glimpse of the beauty that's there. And all I did was close my eyes and I just imagined hearing those things and seeing those things, that she saw her family. She got a glimpse and she said this, they're waiting for me as I come. What a deal. That the next day, really that evening, she passed on to be with the Lord. Well, how much greater to know that we have a kingdom that won't fade away, whose builder and maker is God. But while we're on this planet, we need to hear from him. We need to have a prophetic word that unlocks things, a true word today, that our hearts, every trace of false thinking or false things, it takes time. It takes time to burn all that out, that we know that God can heat us up, as it were, to release truth from error. I like this. My wife liked this statement. We, listen to me, we cannot have a refining process in a microwave. It takes more than that. We need to have it heated up. The furnace sometimes of affliction is there, but it'll come forth. Pure prophetic truth can come forth from our hearts, and its desire will be to fulfill the will of God. When it's pure and it's pure Jesus words, it'll change. Can you imagine Jesus prophesying over the church. Can you imagine him coming into service and speaking the truth? Now, religious folks won't like it. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. But those who heard him gladly, and he changed the situation. And I love this verse. He went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That should be the church today. Healing all that are oppressed of the devil. God working with him. Well, the only time he couldn't do just a few miracles was in his own hometown. They relegated him just to a carpenter's son. They made him of no stature of authority. And he said he only could touch a few sick folk. Could you imagine how many more he wanted to touch in his homeland if they'd only believe? Well, we need to believe too, church, that I believe that this state of Michigan can change with a true prophetic word. I believe this country can change with a true prophetic word. If we hear from God and we respond, if the vessel that speaks it forth is one of purity, if we sift through a lot of rocks to get the gold nugget, believe me, it's there. But during this time, I pray that there's more maturity. I pray if somebody's broken, that we can sit with them and help them out. If somebody's hungry, we can feed them. If somebody's naked, we can clothe them. Church, we need to be those type of people. Now, I'm just not saying you're not. This church is real benevolent. We are. We've had a chance to feed so many people. It's been really awesome. There hasn't been one lack among us, which has been just fantastic. It's a testimony to you, church, that your giving heart is there. In fact, we still have a little surplus here for people who may need something. So God bless that. Well, I hope you received something this morning from this message, that we need to be pure, that the word needs to go forth, and that can be anyone. A child can prophesy as well as an adult. Let's be mindful of that in this vessel. We carry it in this vessel. It's perfect in us, but we're imperfect. It's an earthen vessel. It's a clay pot. Let's speak forth his word in purity, not just the smell of the vessel, but tried in fire. And if you're going through something this morning, you're hearing this, begin to look to the Lord. Begin to focus on him. Job's victory came in revelation, that he saw the Lord. Well, see the Lord in your situation. The struggles are real, but God is so much greater than our struggle. Turn to him. Ask him to reveal himself to you, and he'll do that. As we close in prayer, maybe you're hearing this and you don't know the Lord. It's a perfect time to get your life right with God. Maybe you're here and you're going through a struggle. Maybe you feel downcast, or you just wish somebody would just sit with you. Well, you know what? The Lord's there. He'll help you. Maybe you're without father or mother. Jesus said, I'll be that to you. No matter what your condition is, whether you need deliverance or you're right on the mountaintop, God is there. In each person, in each affliction, the Lord will be there. As we close in prayer, if you need the Lord to work, I want you to pray this with me. I'm going to bow my heads. Bow your heads and pray this with me. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, that's it, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Lord, I call on you and I ask you to save me, to forgive me, to heal me. Jesus, help me, Lord, through every struggle of life. And Lord, for those that are hurting, Lord, let me carry a word of life to them. Let me be a blessing to them, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray over my family that, Lord, there'll be no sickness nor disease. Help me to be a blessing to all those. And Lord, I desire to be more pure than ever. Lord, teach me your ways. Help me, Lord Jesus, and reveal yourself in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, church, thank you for this time together. Have a great day. It's wonderful outside. God bless you. Remember, next week we're here at 10 o'clock and 11:30. Our services will be dictated, honestly, on the attendance that comes. We'll have the first two like that. Then we'll determine what we need. But I'm praying that we have a full house. That would be wonderful. God bless you. Have a great week. We will see you soon.